And go to share mark.
Yeah, I'm recording this right now.
Oh, don't record this.
Okay, yeah, go.
Yeah, that's
not it. It started itself out. It looks like it started itself out now. Hopefully it started itself out. And we'll try and app it on with the microphone again. See if that happens. Bada bing.
It's lit up.
Things are happening. Just here we go. Podcast number 41. We're not testing.
No testing.
Allison just maybe. With it. Well, we can have the hula in the background, I guess. How did you get into the
Good crowd here tonight? Good crowd?
A good crowd tonight, definitely. We're going to try and hope this goes well.
Yeah, we've never tried it.
Speaking the big boy voice.
It's like a three-ring circus around here right now.
Yeah, it will be.
Okay.
So, hey, Shay, how'd you get in today, buddy?
With the Misfits, and Doyle, Danzig, and Luke. From a flight from Hawaii, actually.
Right.
And I was playing the hula, this thing the whole way.
This thing the whole way, rocking it with you. Yeah, you can see that.
I don't know. Well, let's talk more about our fishing derby we got going on the 17th, right? It's open to all homeless. You don't need a pass or you don't need a license.
Ross came in on the fishing derby.
Winner gets $400 worth of merch.
Yeah.
And some sort of steak dinner.
I don't know how this is going to transfer over.
I got here on the mass.
Yeah.
Massey.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys, for asking again. I came in with traditional BC style, granolas, a few flakes, and a bunch of nuts,
These things happen.
Well, yeah, nuts, you got it. You got it.
So there's lots to talk about today, that's for sure.
Do we got lots to talk about?
The demand for people to move into inadequate housing is actually on the top of the list. It looks like the BC government is going through with this madness to now it's turned into a deadline to end encampments. Didn't it start with a deadline to pathway to housing or something like that?
Everybody's our lingo. Supposed to be housed by December 31st.
And then now it's stepped the adequacy of what is acceptable for a human being to go down into, and that's for every level of person who's facing some sort of homelessness, whether that be you just lost your apartment or you're a long time on the street. It's all a band-aid fix right now, and that's in a shelter. Where you're going to be basically communal living, and you're going to be trying to safe shelter during a pandemic in a community.
During
a variant that's just devastating BC right now. So
yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense. People on the street in Victoria right now have zero numbers of COVID cases in the world. Okay, so that we have this population has no COVID cases, and that's the only place in the entire world that has that.
Although herpes is rampant.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Herpes is running rampant.
It is running rampant, and that's terrible. But not in the homeless community in Victoria.
Yeah,
I hope.
The thing is we're all quarantined out here. Right? You know what? We're all doing the proper 6-foot separation. Carefully who we run into. I haven't been up to the strip, and that's odd for me in a month and a half.
Well,
and
yeah.
For a simple reason, is that because quarantine? Right?
Is that because of the new variant? So what's going on?
Well, I don't agree with the vaccination process, and I really don't just want to be kind of leaving myself open right now.
But
right?
You don't.
Hey guys, we're podcasting over here. Enough.
So what I was saying is, what was I saying?
I'm not too sure.
Variants. Yeah. The variants and safety in the park.
Yeah, please. If you can.
Yeah, there's no cases of any of that, right? Because we're not social distancing.
No.
We are swapping that good bacteria that we need as humans, where that other rest of the population isn't. It seems to be getting crushed.
We're doing something right. I mean, because it's in Vancouver, right across the water here. It's the homeless community. It's just as it's just as rampant, I guess, there as it is in the house community. So, it's all over the place here. This is the only population that is not affected by COVID.
We're a culture within a culture.
Well, it's almost like we're in a bubble of itself, and that's called a tent. And that's, go ahead. I just want to introduce you, Kim. So we got Kim Hothead here, and me and Kim will try and get through the show without strangling each other.
You know what, Kim's got some great stories together down on
Kim's Canada. A long time out in Victoria.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. It's all right.
Oh, yeah. No. I'll be honest. It's from the comic book Hothead Python, which is a pretty radical comic book.
Nice. Yeah.
drawn by this radical dyke in the 80s, and it's got very intense things in it.
It's a comic?
A lot of the street people would really appreciate it. Anyways, it was a bit intense for me at the time to be given the name, but someone said, well,
it's kind of a cool name.
You're hot-headed about injustice, so just don't pull the spines out of rapists.
Perfect.
Yeah. You can do that too, though. You know.
That's in the Hothead Pie song.
And we also have a guest, Allison.
Allison, for sure.
The
ukulele. Thank you, Ross. That's what it's called. Yes. She played the whole thing on the trip from Hawaii. The whole time.
What do you want for it? I just wanted to say that
it was excellent.
I'm sorry. And not only the ukulele.
Kamawanalea? Yeah, I heard that. I had a horse.
Kamawanalea?
Yeah, it was a horse that had. Yeah, and Backdoor Beauty was the other one.
I don't know what that means.
No, I'm the person who's in search of housing.
Oh, really?
Yes. Allison's got an interesting story that we can talk about right now. I mean,
can I just say what I was going to say when you were talking
about? Of course, Kim. We were going to talk about it. Of course.
You bet. We just threw the introductions, which I'm terrible at introductions.
Then we got to be really friendly here because we were going to respect shit.
Thanks, guys.
I also got a second of security.
Yeah, exactly. Nah. There have been cases of people who are unhoused who got it. But here's the thing. It was one, and then it was one other one, and that was it. It was contained. They got it from outside the community. It's really important that you know that, and I'm going to just say it for the record.
Yeah.
And I think that the downtown east side's more, they have more people coming, going, and a lot more.
They're the mainland.
Really, yeah, the mainland too, but just especially downtown east side. I think that, I don't know the numbers there. Maybe we can ask them what are the numbers of the unhoused getting COVID, just to help, you folks have been in bubbles. For over a year, some of you 5 years.
Which we fought for.
But
hard,
we've also been vaccinated, you know?
Well, even before.
I've been vaccinated.
But it doesn't
matter. I'm not a person living in the homeless community.
Hold on, guys. You know, I know everybody wants to. We got to stay on topic here. So Kim. You're saying that basically that we're in a bubble here. There's no point in breaking the bubble. Why? And the bubble is the tent.
And your community, you have the same community. Some of them here for 5 years, some for 10, some for 6, some for 8. You have the same little bubble, always the same people every day. And you're kind of cautious with outreach, and they've been really careful, most of them. Right?
Yeah, and you know what? You can kind of trace who you come in contact with. Yeah. The community is you know, the outreach has actually been outreach and gone, you know, in deep, I'd say, and then they've really sought to go. There's some people that, you know, are like, you know, tucked right away in the bush, right? You're still trying to, and they've you know, everybody has pretty much got connected somehow with outreach. Now I would say also too that you have your longtime also Victoria homeless that are out there that aren't getting connected with outreach, and what's the problem with that? Where's the problem there? Like Tom, we have Tom here.
How can we still have a 16-year-old young lady on the street?
Okay. Yeah. Well,
it's topical. And the thing is our topic tonight was about, we were going to discuss about the females on the street and the security and the safety. And where is that? Where do we draw that? Where do we take the onus of responsibility on ourselves as city council, those people, to not have them housed first and not have that initiative set in place? That is it's the street or whether it's the unwritten rule up top. You pull it, you know, chivalry's not dead, you pull out a chair, but you don't leave the most vulnerable people.
It was
going to
be a three-ring circus here. I told you.
That's just the case, right?
So, so there we go. Now, basically, that's kind of a who's who. And where are we podcasting from? Mm-hmm. We're down at Beacon Hill. We're in McGann today. Mm-hmm. And we're podcasting from the encampment. That's going to be pretty much the line here. Yeah. Because we're talking about that, too. Black Lives Matter was just out here dropping off supplies. Thanks to those guys. Thank you very much.
Wonderful.
And they're going to be down here supporting us, you know, come May 1st. So that's a very, you know, that's a lot of support, and we're very happy to have them on board, right? So.
And who else are we getting on, you know, trying to support us?
We'll have Leon and Kim will be down here, and
we've got Allison. Reasons, so.
And we've got Allison, who's been from Fairfield Gonzalez. Let's talk to Allison.
Yeah.
And find out what's going on. So Allison, you know, you've been. Pretty active in helping out the community care tent, and you were down there, you were dropping off food, and you used to come to me and drop off food at the tent, and you say hi, and during, you know, some tough times, and you know, just let, you know, us know that we had community support, and you were a real anchor for us and help. So I want to say thank you for that. But also, see, you got an interesting story right now, because you're facing where you're having some troubles with housing. So, I mean, not housing, but, you know, tell us a story about it.
Well, I'm looking for a place to live. And thank you, Shay, for acknowledging the outreach work that I did do.
You bet. That's how you know you.
Yeah. I really enjoyed doing it. It was
very
appreciated
by a lot of the homeless.
Thank you.
You bet.
It is.
Thank you. And I really enjoyed the contact and appreciated the contact and the community that I became acquainted with. And I felt very grateful and fortunate to get to know people as well as I did on a first name basis. You know, I felt that was a...
Yeah.
It was an intimate experience.
Well, they become friends and family now, kind of type
thing.
Yeah,
it was nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Well, you kind of become accepted on the street. And I think once you do that...
You become
family. Yeah, it's your family. And that's why people have such a hard time getting away from it once, you know.
You just like to borrow all your stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get away. You can't get away from the friends and family and some of the real ones that you know, that you meet on the street. I mean, some of you can, you know, but some of them are it's
you
tough.
Find your click.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
I was in the corporate world, you know, doing the push-ups for the Alberta Children's Hospital, finding it hard for, you know, 100 contractors to come up with $2,500. But you come here on the street and someone will give their last $10 out of their pocket. There's a big difference in giving
I like to say that, you know, the same guys that are ripping you off will give you the shirt on their back if you need it, right? Got your back in a second, right?
Yeah, let's hope so.
You know?
So,
hey, well.
You know, something I would like to add, if I may, very quickly, is that some of the food that I brought over was a donation from Mustard Seed. Remember those lovely pies?
Yep.
All that baked, that was from Mustard Seed.
Excellent.
And
those are great.
Yes,
Gordo. Nice mustard seed.
Shout out to Gordo.
And the pork chops came from a woman who lives out in Saanich.
Nice, nice.
Yeah,
so thank
who
you very
I
much.
Met when I was delivering food and they were delivering sandwiches. Lovely exchange of community.
So, Allison, what's happening now with, like, you know, you're having a bit of a hard... Like,
well,
what are you facing here?
You know, I signed an agreement to vacate.
Right.
And that was after my one-year lease was due to expire. And I had a one-year lease because they wanted to sell the condo. And when they rented it to me, I was actually moving out of another condo in the same building that had just been sold.
Right. So here you're caught in this trap of, you know, the landlord and the marketing of housing.
When the landlord has a stranglehold.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, or some sort of group is buying up a bunch of properties,
now,
right?
She's now month to month. Even if you're on a lease and it ends and there's been nothing said, you're on month to month.
But there has been something said, and that is the agreement to vacate that I signed.
So is that a guarantee you're leaving, you signed? Or is it like, you know...
Well, the legalities, I mean, here we are.
I mean, I did phone the RTB. I phoned the RTB and I asked them at the RTB and you know, I don't think...
The rental board.
Yeah, the rental board. And I, you know, I don't think I was in a very good mood that day.
You know, these things happen, especially when
you're
facing these kind of consequences.
And I didn't have a very successful interchange with the woman who phoned me
back
from
the
RTB.
I think, how could they feel on the other side, you know? Like VC Housing, and you know, they go through this kind of like rubber stamping things. And when you're kind of answering your phone, and you're having people in crisis situations calling you, and they probably get pretty callous at that. You know, it's a pretty tough job.
Like her answer was the point.
I've had that experience. Yeah, I've had those experiences. In Alberta,
really,
here, absolutely. Yeah.
You know,
places.
It really is, and so you know, but I mean, my landlord.
Broken, right?
So I've written to my landlord and said, you know, the circumstances that, you know, I was pre-approved for a mortgage, but then couldn't get the mortgage on that building because it's a leasehold building. CMHC won't guarantee a mortgage on that building. And then we don't even look at the realities of me getting a mortgage. Like, let's not even have that. That's, you know.
Yeah.
But I thought that I would apply for it. And, you know, because I could get a mortgage for a modest, modest place.
I think we're still recording. That's good.
Oh, we're still recording.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway,
it's from tense, you know.
But you know, so I have to move,
the little
and So I've written to her and told her that, you know, that I couldn't get the mortgage for that place. And but I also discussed her pricing. I felt her pricing was over the top. And I told her why. And, you know, and then I just said that I was looking for another place to live.
So you're caught in this exactly what the rest of us are caught in at a different level, at the beginning level. Here you are. I mean, and it just goes to show how it can happen to anybody. I mean, here's a lady who was just helping us, helping the homeless out in her community.
Yeah.
And now she's fighting, going to be fighting for a place to live.
Did you ever think you were that close when you were helping out?
And
pardon me?
Did you ever think you were that close when you were helping out?
Well, actually, I always knew that I had to have this. I had to either buy it or move by the end of May. And I couldn't, it seemed to motivate myself to go through the process to buying it. Yeah. And I had to think about why I couldn't motivate myself to do that. And a big part of it was the price and also the condition of the building and the realities. It's a leasehold building. And, you know, pretty soon the balconies and the windows are going to have to be redone. And when that happened over at, I think it's Orchard House, over in on Michigan Street in James Bay, people lost their homes. Right,
and this is the gentrification thing, right?
This is, people lost their homes.
And also, there's this thing, just to jump in and ask this, and I'll ask you, Allison, you might know, so it's like Pushback Talks is helping people learn that in their cities, this seems to be happening global, and it was especially the last 10 years, it's like they go in and they extract the resource of
Who are you plugging here, Kim?
What this is the
on our show?
Yeah. But this is what they do. This is the real estate investment.
So the Pushback Talks is uncovering the scam.
Who is that though? Who is Pushback Talks?
It's a podcast, Pushback Talks.
By who?
Leilani
Farhi. Okay,
Leilani
Farhi.
Yeah, basically Leilani Farhi. Yeah, Blackstone.
We've heard it. Yeah, I've heard that. It's a you big know,
scam.
Leilani.
Yeah, but
I think,
it's not only Blackstone. She kind of owes us a little bit of an explanation, actually. Capriot,
let's talk about Leilani Farhad and some of that.
But these are the guys who have driven.
This is what Leanne is talking
about. Where is the? Oh, yeah. Absolutely, exactly what she's talking about.
This is this. But yeah, but what's you know, I first
version?
Encountered this.
This is a Canadian version.
I first encountered.
No, she has mentioned a company.
It's Capriot.
Capriot.
But I first encountered this financialization of housing when I was living in Europe.
Yeah,
and I was introduced to a swath of buildings across the city of Budapest that had been purchased, and all the people who lived in them had had to vacate, and the buildings were sitting there empty.
Empty.
You
Chinese
know?
Probably.
And
absolutely.
And this, you know? This was in the
Ross,
2000.
I don't know. Like, let's not say stuff.
2002, 2004, 2006, in that era. Then I went to. Well, wait a second. Then I went to Barcelona. Then I went to Barcelona.
All right, come on, guys. Let's just rein her in.
And in Barcelona, you know, there were like massive squats in major apartment blocks, and I was invited to live in one of them, and I was too chicken. I was too chicken. I'm sorry to disappoint all the, you know.
Courage comes in many forms.
Like, I
well,
just.
Well, you know, have another swig. Have a swig again, then try
yes
again.
Have another swig and try again, huh?
Would you say yes now?
Would I say yes now to living in a squat? It would depend on the people living in the squat. It would depend very much on the people living in the squat.
Yeah, no, we potentially have there's a room open with Uncle John and that Tom went to look at today. So there's potentially a room, like a worst case scenario.
Thank you.
And you don't have to worry about appointments again. Yeah.
Well, I did.
They become hard to keep,
today.
I tell you.
But guys, there's light. There's light.
That's
there's
good.
Really light.
That's good.
Because it's pretty scary because the prices of the apartments out there. Like I'm living right now, $975 a month I pay. And I have like 650, 667 square feet, one bedroom apartment with a southeast facing balcony on Haywood Avenue next to Beacon Hill Park.
Well, we don't have to give the exact address. We don't have to give the exact address, but let's move on. Let's move on.
No, but that's how much I pay.
Yeah, you go ahead.
That's how much I pay, and I want you to know.
Oh, hey, so Allison, I know. Hey, Allison, I know.
I thank you for sharing, but I would actually like to interject because I'm actually a homeless person currently in the city, and we're talking about homelessness right now.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Allison. All right, back. Here's from the chair. Get the chair.
So I would like to first address women's safety issues.
Let's move on.
I have been homeless here for 2 months. Absolutely. And I'm glad that there's men present here because I'm honestly at a loss on what to do. And just the other night, I happened to catch wind that there was going to be crossfire in this very camp, and I didn't feel safe. And I just came back from Vancouver, and I literally turned around and repacked my suitcase and took it to a shelter, and there was everywhere was full, and I walked around all night with nowhere to go. And I'm tired of this. I'm trying to heal people from heroin addiction, and I'm tired of being disrespected. I'm tired of having all of my things stolen from me. I'm trying to help people, and I deserve to be on this planet, and I apologize that I'm a settler, but I just want to say thank you to the Coast Salish people because you have paradise here, and I'm trying to respect it and all of the people here because I believe, much like you, that we're all related and we're all supposed to be here for each other, and this world is supposed to be about experiencing and giving love, and I don't feel it and I don't see it, and I'm tired and I'm ready to give up, and I talk at the rallies every Saturday because this is not okay what's happening to the women. We birth the souls on this planet, and I'm tired. Where are the warriors, and why aren't they protecting us? Because the cops do sweet fuck all except arrest us and hurt us.
Yeah, well, that's Kiwi. You know what do you say to that? What do you say to that?
That's one passionate woman. Thank you, Kiwi. Expressing right now, but there's also when you look at it, you know what? I've got a daughter, and if you'd ever asked me if I'd ever want to see my daughter on the street, in that kind of position.
What about your mom?
Ask yourself.
What about
your
aunties? What about your grandmothers?
A woman in your life.
I'm just pertaining to my daughter right now.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't want that for the life of me on her. And the things that I would want to do as a...
Well, this is where we need to pull together as a community and as a people and as a group and as a planet. Look at the sisters in your life and let's respect our sisters, man.
And also the men that are willing to hit and abuse women, you're cowards. You don't deserve women in your life. You don't deserve them at all. They're goddesses and they're queens and they're mothers and they're matriarchs.
So guys, let's give all the women our lives or not, you know, guys?
There's an interesting thing in looking for a place to live in Victoria just on that very point that Kiwi's talking about here. And that is that, you know, Greater Victoria Housing Society places, the new apartments, and the CRD housing new places out in the Western communities, and the GVHS new places out on Gold Street. All of these require a minimum income of $44,500 a year.
Right, and this is the low income housing.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Podcast number 41.
Yeah. You know what?
Hold on.
Gives it authentic
flavor.
Yes. Scott Peck. Yeah, he wrote
I hope that.
He also wrote.
Recording for more than 8 seconds.
March to a different
That's good.
Drummer.
That's keeping an eye on it.
To a different drummer.
Homeless Idea, podcast number 41. I have to kind of bring in a little bit like editorial style on this one, because I was down the other day in Beacon and Megan, and I came across a group of people who wanted to do some talking, and we were going to do a podcast at the same time, and this is always a good thing. I want people to be involved, so some people in the community got involved, and that's what you're going to hear segments of. Everybody's getting involved, that's for sure. I know that there's a lot of people that feel strongly about people being able to have a safe place to shelter during a pandemic. I know there's a lot of people out there that really care about that. And I don't think that anybody thinks that a person shouldn't have a place to safely shelter during a pandemic. And, you know, the minimum standard would be what anybody would expect. And that's to be treated with, you know, dignity, and to be treated fairly, and to be treated equally. And, you know, the hotels being the minimum standard. And if we're really trying to end homelessness, let's get people on a path to recovery, in the sense of having, you know, meaningful things to go and fulfill themselves with. And let's open up programs where people that are coming off the street can have access to maybe, you know, university, stuff like that. You know, maybe let's have programs to actually help people get off the street and help people get this pathway to permanent housing and help them get out of the cycle of homelessness that we want to see. I mean, we can't just expect to, you know, plant a seed and then just let it kind of grow on its own. We have to cultivate things. We have to make sure that we take care of, you know, things as they grow. And so this is no different, right? So there's a powerful message here that I want you to hear. And yeah. Here we are, Homeless Radio. Hey, how's it going? This is Homeless Radio, podcast number 41. So I'm sitting in the Comfort Inn right now, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I keep promising my buddies down in Beacon Hill that, Megan, that I'm going down there to podcast, because they want a podcast so badly. We caught a bit of last night. There's so much going on. Honestly, it's hard to keep up. The water got turned on back to in again to the gravel field, which we're very thankful for. Thank you to Bernie Pauly and the Gonzalez Fairfield Community Group to support the unhoused. I hope I got that name right finally. But some really good group of ladies there, and obviously a very roll up the sleeves kind of community engaged scholar and doctor of nursing. And I think if I gave Miss Polly the credits to her due, I could probably take up most of your day. So thank you very much for getting the water turned back on. Very kind and wonderful ladies. So here we have the situation brewing where the government's saying, you know, there's not going to be room, or there's not going to be room at the inn, pretty much, until the 15th, approximately, before the inadequate shelters start getting opened up, and then we can't expect the mobilization to start happening probably till at least, well, I mean, throughout the summer. Let's face it. The people that are at the arena have been told that they're going to be staying there until August, after being told they're on a pathway to permanent housing. So that's the situation. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I don't know why I'm doing this right now, but I guess I have to podcast the truth. I'm just printing up some Homeless Idea t-shirts. I hope you get one. I'm working hard on them, and it's taking up most of my life. So if you get one, you know it's pressed by me, and you can wear it proudly. And yeah. So just keep continuing to support the Hope and Homeless Idea. Keep continuing to do what you do out there. You know, if you're part of the cause, thank you very much. If you're against the cause, you got to listen. You know, we're doing this in love. We're doing this to make this world a better place. And that's all we're trying to do, is make the world a better place than when we came here, right? It is really true, but we should be doing. So, you know, just leave it a better place than it was when we got here. I hope. Okay, guys. Well, I'm going to bike down to again, and go see the campers. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm not expecting too much success, but I'm going to chop some stuff together for this Homeless Idea podcast, and this is part of it. Thanks for listening. I don't think that anybody thinks that a person shouldn't have. Here we go. Podcast number 41. We're not testing.
No testing.
Allison just, yeah. Maybe with just we can have the hula in the background, I guess.
How did you get into the call? Good crowd here tonight.
A good crowd tonight, definitely. We're going to try and hope this goes well.
Yeah, we've never tried it.
Speaking the big boy voice.
It's like a three-ring circus around here right now.
Yeah, it will be.
Okay.
So, Shay, how'd you get in today, buddy?
With the Misfits, and Doyle, Danzig, and from a flight from Hawaii, actually.
Right.
And us was playing the hula, the whole way.
This thing the whole way, rocking it with you. You can see that.
Well, let's talk more about our fishing derby we got going on the 17th, right? It's open to all homeless. You don't need a pass or you don't need a license.
Ross came in on the fishing derby.
Winner gets $400 worth of merch.
Yeah.
And some sort of steak dinner.
I don't know how this is going to transfer over.
I got here on a mass.
Yeah.
Massey.
Yeah. Well, thanks guys for asking again. I came in with traditional BC style, you know, granolas, a few flakes, and a bunch of nuts. You know,
these things happen.
You got it.
So there's lots to talk about today.
Holy
that's for
crap.
Sure.
Do we got lots to talk about?
The demand for people to move into inadequate housing is actually on the top of the list. It looks like the BC government is going through with this madness. To now, it's turned into a deadline to end encampments. Didn't it start with a deadline to pathway to housing or something like that?
Everybody's supposed to be housed by December 31st.
So they've stepped the adequacy of what is acceptable for a human being to go down into, and that's for every level of person who's facing some sort of homelessness, whether that be you just lost your apartment or you're a long time on the street. It's all a band-aid fix right now, and that's in a shelter. Where you're going to be basically communal living, and you're going to be trying to save shelter during a pandemic in
a
community.
During a variant
that's just devastating BC right now. So
yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense. People on the street in Victoria right now have zero numbers of COVID cases in the world. Okay, so that we have this population has no COVID cases, and that's the only place in the entire world that has that.
Although herpes is rampant.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Herpes is running rampant.
It is running rampant, and that's terrible. But it's not in the homeless community in Victoria.
Yeah,
the thing is
we're all quarantined out here. We're all doing the proper 6 foot separation. Carefully who we run into. I haven't been up to the strip, and that's odd for me in a month and a half.
Well,
for a simple reason is that because quarantine, right?
Is that because of the new variant? So what's going on?
Well, you know what? You know what I mean. I don't agree with the vaccination process, and I really don't just want to be leaving myself open right now.
Guys, we're podcasting over here. Enough.
So what I was saying is, what was it then?
I'm not too sure.
Variants. Yeah. The variants and safety in the park.
Yeah, please. Okay.
Yeah, there's no cases of any of that, right? Because we're not social distancing.
No,
we are swapping that good bacteria that we need as humans, where that of the rest of the population isn't. That seems to be getting crushed.
We're doing something right. I mean, because it's in Vancouver, right across the water here. It's the homeless community. It's just as it's just as rampant, I guess, there as it is in the house community. So,
yeah.
It's all over the place here. This is the only population that is not affected by COVID.
Culture within a culture.
Well, it's almost like we're in a bubble of itself, and that's called a tent. Go ahead.
So I just want to
introduce you, Kim. So we got Kim Highhead here, and me and Kim will try and get through the show without strangling each other.
Kim's got some great stories about us together down on
Kim's a long time.
Get the name, Kim.
Victoria.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. It's all right.
Oh,
yeah.
No. I'll be honest. It's from the comic book Hothead Paisan, which is a pretty radical comic book.
Nice.
Drawn by this radical dyke in the 80s, and it's got very intense things in it.
It's a comic?
A lot of the street people would really appreciate it.
Yeah,
anyways, it was a bit intense for me at the time to be given the name, but someone said, well,
it's kind of a cool name.
You're hot-headed about injustice, so just don't pull the spines out of rapists.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do that too, though. You know,
that's in the hot-head pie song.
And we also have a guest, Allison.
Allison, for sure. Yeah,
ukulele.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ukulele. Thank you, Ross. That's what it's called. Yes, she played the whole thing on the trip from Hawaii. The whole time.
What do you want for it? I just wanted to say that
it was excellent.
Not only the ukulele.
Kamawanalea. Yeah, I heard that. I had a horse.
Kamawanalea.
Yeah, the horse that had. Yeah, and Backdoor Beauty was the other one.
I don't know what that
no,
means.
No, I'm the person who's in search of housing.
Oh,
yes. Allison's got an interesting story that we can talk about right now. I mean,
can I just say what I was going to say when you were talking about?
Of course,
about
Kim. Right,
we were going to talk about.
Of course.
You bet. We just through the introductions, which I'm not. I'm terrible at introductions.
Then we got to be really friendly here because we were going to respect Shane.
Thanks, guys.
But so
I also got a second in security.
Yeah, exactly. There have been cases of people who are unhoused who got it. But here's the thing. It was one, and then it was one other one, and that was it. It was contained. They got it from outside the community. It's really important that you know that, and I'm going to just say it for the record.
Yeah.
And I think that the downtown east side, they have more people coming, going, and a lot more.
They're the mainland.
Really, the mainland too, but just especially downtown east side. I think that, I don't know the numbers there. Maybe we can ask them what are the numbers of the unhoused getting COVID. But just to help, you folks have been in bubbles. For over a year, some of you 5 years.
Which we fought for.
But
hard,
we've
you
also
know.
Been vaccinated, you know.
Well, even before.
Like, I've been vaccinated.
But it doesn't
I was given, I mean, I'm not a person living in the homeless community.
Okay, guys, hold on.
We're getting the pet ones.
Hold on, guys. You know, I know
push
everybody wants
off,
to.
Go on, Shane.
We got to stay on topic here. So Kim. You're saying that basically that we're in a bubble here. There's no point in breaking the bubble. Why? And the bubble is the tent.
And your community, you have the same community. Some of them here for 5 years, some for 10, some for 6, some for 8. You have the same little bubble, always the same people every day. And you're kind of cautious with outreach, and they've been really careful, most of them. Right?
Yeah, and you know what? You can kind of trace who you come in contact with. Yeah. The community is you know, the outreach has actually been outreach and gone, you know, in deep, I'd say, and then they've really sought to go. There's some people that, you know, are like, you know, tucked right away in the bush, right? You're still trying to, and they've you know, everybody has pretty much got connected somehow with outreach. Now I would say also too, you have your longtime also Victoria homeless that are out there that aren't getting connected with outreach. And what's the problem with that? Where's the problem there? Like Tom, we have Tom here.
How can we still have a 16-year-old young lady on the street?
Okay, well, that's
it's topical. It's and the thing is our topic tonight was about we were going to discuss about the females on the street and the security and the safety.
Sure.
And where is that? Where do we draw that? Where do we take the onus of responsibility on ourselves as city council those people to not have them housed first and not have that initiative set in place. That is it's the street or whether it's the unwritten rule up top. You pull it, chivalry's not dead, you pull out a chair, but you don't leave the most vulnerable people.
It was
going to
be a three-ring circus here. I told you
that's just the case, mm-hmm. right?
So, okay, yeah. so there we go. Now, basically, that's kind of a who's who. And where are we podcasting from? Mm-hmm. We're down at Beacon Hill, we're in McGann today, mm-hmm. and we're podcasting from the encampment. That's going to be pretty much the line here because we're talking about that too. Black Lives Matter was just out here dropping off supplies. Thanks to those guys. Thank
you
very much.
Wonderful.
They're going to be down here supporting us, you know, come May 1st. So that's a very, you know, that's a lot of support, and we're very happy to have them on board, right? So.
And who else are we getting on, you know, trying to support us?
We'll have Leon and Kim will be down here, and
we've
he's
got Allison.
So. And we've got Allison, who's been from Fairfield Gonzalez. Let's talk to Allison and find out what's going on. So Allison, you know, you've been pretty active in helping out the community care tent, and you were down there, you were dropping off food, and you used to come to me and drop off food at the tent, and you say hi, and during, you know, some tough times, and you know, just let, you know, us know that we had community support, and you're a real anchor for us and help. So I want to say thank you for that. But also, see, you got an interesting story right now, because you're facing where you're having some troubles with housing. So I mean, not housing, but you know, tell us a story about it.
Well, I'm looking for a place to live, and thank you, Shay, for acknowledging the outreach work that I did do.
You bet. That's how you know you.
Yeah. I really enjoyed doing it. It was
very
appreciated
by a lot of the homeless.
Thank you.
You bet.
It is.
Thank you, and I really enjoyed the contact and appreciated the contact and the community that I became acquainted with, and I felt very grateful and fortunate to get to know people as well as I did on a first name basis. You know, I felt that was it was an intimate experience.
Well, they become friends and family now, kind of type
yeah,
thing.
It was nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Well, you kind of become accepted on the street, and I think once you do that, it's your family, and that's why people have such a hard time getting away from it once, you know.
I just like to borrow all your stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get away. You can't get away from the friends and family and some of the real ones that you meet on the street. I mean, some of you can, you know, but some of them are it's
you
tough.
Find your click.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
I was in the corporate world, you know, doing the push-ups for the Alberta Children's Hospital, finding it hard for, you know, 100 contractors to come up with $2,500. But you come here on the street and someone will give their last $10 out of their pocket. There's a big difference in giving
I like to say that, you know, the same guys that are ripping you off will give you the shirt on their back if you need it, right? Got your back in a second, right?
Yeah, let's hope so.
You know?
You know, something I would like to add, if I may, very quickly, is that some of the food that I brought over was a donation from Mustard Seed. Remember those lovely pies?
Yep.
All that baked, that was from Mustard Seed.
Excellent.
And
those are great.
Yes,
Gordo. Nice mustard seed.
Shout out to Gordo.
And the pork chops came from a woman who lives out in Saanich.
Nice, nice.
Yeah,
well, thank
who
you very
I
much.
Met when I was delivering food and they were delivering sandwiches. Lovely exchange of community.
So, Allison, what's happening now with, like, you know, you're having a bit of a hard... Like,
well,
what are you facing?
You know, I signed an agreement to vacate.
Right.
And that was after my one-year lease was due to expire. And I had a one-year lease because they wanted to sell the condo. And when they rented it to me, I was actually moving out of another condo in the same building that had just been sold.
Right. So here you're caught in this trap of, you know, the landlord and the marketing of housing.
Well, the landlord has a stranglehold.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, or some sort of group is buying up a bunch of properties, right?
She's now month to month. If you're on a lease and it ends and there's been nothing said, you're on month to month.
But there has been something said, and that is the agreement to vacate that I signed.
So is that a guarantee you're leaving, you signed? Or is it like, you know...
Well, the legalities, I mean, here
well,
we are.
I mean, I did phone the RTB. I phoned the RTB and I asked them at the RTB and you know, I don't think...
The rental board.
Yeah, the rental board. And I, you know, I don't think I was in a very good mood that day.
You know, these things happen, especially when you're facing these kind of consequences.
And I didn't have a very successful interchange with the woman who phoned
me
back from the RTB.
How could they feel on the other side, you know? Like VC Housing, and you know, they go through this kind of like rubber stamping things. And when you're kind of answering your phone, and you're having people in crisis situations calling you, and they probably get pretty callous at that. You know, it's a pretty tough job.
Like her answer was the point.
I've had that experience. I've had that experience. Yeah, I've had those experiences. I've definitely, in Alberta and here, absolutely.
You know, it really is, and so you know, but I mean, my landlord.
Yes.
So I've written to my landlord and said, you know, the circumstances that, you know, I was pre-approved for a mortgage, but then couldn't get the mortgage on that building because it's a leasehold building. CMHC won't guarantee a mortgage on that building. And then we don't even look at the realities of me getting a mortgage. Like, let's not even have that. That's, you know.
Yeah.
But I thought that I would apply for it. And, you know, because I could get a mortgage for a modest modest place.
Shit. think. Oh, we're still recording. That's good.
Oh, we're still recording.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But anyway, it's from tents, you know.
But you know, so I have to move.
The little numbers and are moving.
So I've written to her and told her that, you know, that I couldn't get the mortgage for that place. But I also discussed her pricing. I felt her pricing was over the top. And I told her why. And, you know, and then I just said that I was looking for another place to live.
So you're caught in this exactly what the rest of us are caught in at a different level, at the beginning level. Here you are. I mean, and it just goes to show how it can happen to anybody. I mean, here's a lady who was just helping us, helping the homeless out in her community.
Yeah.
And now she's going to be fighting for a place to live.
Do you ever think you were that close when you were helping out?
Pardon me?
Do you ever think you were that close when you were helping out?
Well, actually, I always knew that I had to have this. I had to either buy it or move by the end of May. And I couldn't, it seemed to motivate myself to go through the process to buying it.
Yeah.
And I had to think about why I couldn't motivate myself to do that. And a big part of it was the price and also the condition of the building and the realities. It's a leasehold building. And, you know, pretty soon the balconies and the windows are going to have to be redone. And when that happened over at, I think it's Orchard House, over in on Michigan Street in James Bay, people lost their homes. Right,
and this is the gentrification thing, right?
This is, people lost their homes.
And also there's this thing, just to jump in and ask this, and I'll ask you, Allison, you might know, so it's like, Pushback Talks is helping people learn that in their cities, this seems to be happening global, and it was especially the last 10 years, it's like they go in and they extract the resource of...
Who are you plugging here, Kim?
Well, this is the...
On our show?
Yeah, but this is what they do. This is the real estate investment.
So the Pushback Talks is uncovering the scam.
Who is that, though? Who is Pushback Talks?
It's a podcast, Pushback Talks.
By who?
Leilani Farhad.
Okay, Leilani Farhad. Okay.
Yeah. So they basically...
Leilani Farhad.
Yeah, Blackstone...
We've heard it. Yeah, I've heard that. Leilani.
Yeah, but it's not only Blackstone. She kind of owes us a little bit of an explanation, actually. Capriot,
let's talk about Leilani Farhad and stuff like that.
But these are the guys who have driven.
Where is the? Absolutely, exactly what she's talking about.
Yeah, this is. But yeah, but you know, I first encountered this.
This is a Canadian version.
I first encountered.
She doesn't mention the company.
It's Capriot.
Capriot.
But I first encountered this financialization of housing when I was living in Europe. And I was introduced to a swath of buildings across the city of Budapest that had been purchased, and all the people who lived in them had had to vacate, and the buildings were sitting there empty. You
Chinese,
know?
Probably.
And absolutely. And this, you know? This was in the
Ross,
2000...
I don't know. Let's not say stuff.
2002, 2004, 2006, in that era. Then I went to... Then I went to Barcelona.
All right, come on, guys. Let's just rein her in here.
And in Barcelona, you know, there were, like, massive squats in major apartment blocks, and I was invited to live in one of them, and I was too chicken. I was too chicken. I'm sorry to disappoint all the, you know.
Courage comes in many forms.
Like,
You know, have another swig. Have a swig again, and try again.
Have another swig and try again, huh?
Would you say yes now?
Would I say yes now to living in a squat? It would depend on the people living in the squat. It would depend very much on the people living in the squad.
Yeah, no, we potentially have there's a room open with Uncle John and that Tom went to look at today. So there's potentially a room, like a worst case scenario.
Thank you.
We don't have to worry about appointments again.
Well, I did
look at a
place today.
They become hard to keep, I tell you.
But guys, there's light. There's light. That's
good.
Really light.
That's good.
Because it's pretty scary because the prices of the apartments out there, like I'm living right now, $975 a month I pay. And I have like 667 square feet, one bedroom apartment with a southeast facing balcony on Haywood Avenue next to Beacon Hill Park.
Well, we don't have to give the exact address. We don't have to give the exact address. But let's move on. Let's move on.
No, but that's how much I pay.
Yeah, you go ahead.
That's how much I pay, and I want you to know.
Oh, hey, Allison, Allison, I know. Hey, Allison, I know.
I thank you for sharing, but I would actually like to interject because I'm actually a homeless person currently in the city, and we're talking about homelessness right now.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Allison. All right, back. Get the chair. Get the chair.
So I would like to first address women's safety issues.
Let's move on.
I have been homeless here for 2 months, and I'm glad that there's men present here because I'm honestly at a loss on what to do. And just the other night, I happened to catch wind that there was going to be crossfire in this very camp, and I didn't feel safe. And I just came back from Vancouver, and I literally turned around and repacked my suitcase and took it to a shelter, and there was everywhere was full, and I walked around all night with nowhere to go. And I'm tired of this. I'm trying to heal people from heroin addiction, and I'm tired of being disrespected. I'm tired of having all of my things stolen from me. I'm trying to help people, and I deserve to be on this planet, and I apologize that I'm a settler, but I just want to say thank you to the Coast Salish people because you have paradise here, and I'm trying to respect it and all of the people here because I believe, much like you, that we're all related and we're all supposed to be here for each other, and this world is supposed to be about experiencing and giving love, and I don't feel it and I don't see it, and I'm tired and I'm ready to give up, and I talk at the rallies every Saturday because this is not okay what's happening to the women. We birthed the souls on this planet, and I'm tired. Where are the warriors, and why aren't they protecting us? Because the cops do sweet fuck all except arrest us and hurt us.
Yeah, well, that's Kiwi. You know what do you say to that? What do you say to that?
One passionate woman that's expressing right now, but there's also, when you look at it, you know what? I've got a daughter, and if you'd ever asked me if I'd ever want to see my daughter on the street, in that kind of position,
what about
ask yourself?
What about
your
aunties? What about your grandmothers?
A woman in your life. Any woman in your life
I'm just pertaining to my daughter right now. Absolutely. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want that for the life of me on her. And the things that I would want to do is
This is where we need to pull together as a community, right? And as a people, and as a group, and as a planet. Look at the sisters in your life, and let's respect our sisters, man.
And also the men that are willing to hit and abuse women, you're cowards. You're cowards, and you don't deserve women in your life. You don't deserve them at all. They're goddesses, and they're queens, and they're mothers, and they're matriarchs.
So guys, let's give all the women our lives or not, you know, guys?
There's an interesting thing in looking for a place to live in Victoria, just on that very point that Kiwi's talking about here. And that is that, you know, the Greater Victoria Housing Society places, the new apartments, and the CRD housing new places out in the western communities, and the GVHS new places out on Gold Street. All of these require a minimum income of $44,500 a year.
Right, and this is low income housing. Okay. Yeah.